pray. Lord, feed us upon your word this morning. Amen. A newborn child, if left on its own, would starve to death. He doesn't know how to obtain food. He doesn't know the difference between food and poison. He can't pick up a spoon and feed himself. He's unable to chew solid food. About the only thing that an infant can do is complain by crying until someone comes and feeds him. As he matures, however, he begins to realize food sources, the baby bottle, and also learns how to take that bottle into his hands and hold it for himself. Later on, then, he learns how to take a spoon and dip it into the food and bring it to his mouth. Years go by, and eventually, he learns where to find food and how to prepare it. And finally, he is feeding his own babies. So where are you in the whole process of food consumption? Are you still waiting for someone else to come along and feed you? Or do you feed yourself? God knows that at the beginning of our spiritual lives, we are infants. And therefore, he provides us with parents, pastors, teachers, and others who prepare God's food for us. They also feed us that particular food in careful, determined forms and quantities. So first of all, there is the milk of the Word. And only after that, after we have learned to consume that, do they give us more meaty food. So where are you in the whole process of consuming God's food? In the fifth chapter of Hebrews, the Spirit of God says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil." So where are you in the process? God has set before you his word, particularly the message of our redemption through Jesus Christ. This is his food. This is the bread of life. This is the living water, the manna from heaven, or as our text refers to it, the spiritual milk and meat. The food of the soul. God has set it before you. Question is, do you now eat on your own, or do you still need someone else to feed you? In this particular congregation of Christians, we have many different levels of spiritual maturity. Those of you who are teaching the Word of God certainly have learned how to both feed yourselves and others. Those who are in the seminary ought to have reached much the same level. You have been chewing on some pretty meaty stuff up until now. Now you're ready to prepare food and to serve others, providing a nourishing meal of God's word for God's hungry people. Those of you who are in college are still in the process of having food prepared for you to a certain degree. But you are also expected to search for food and to prepare it on your own. And so you are expected to search the scriptures and to prepare essays based on that word. Some essays will be more meaty than others. As for high school students, Most of your meals are prepared for you by those who have slaved away. Some of you readily eat and want more. Some still don't know how to eat and must be spoon-fed. Now, I'm not sure that it all breaks down to this kind of simplicity of the different levels. I've known high school students who can not only consume the meat of God's Word, but who are actually able to prepare and feed a meal to others. I've known of college students, on the other hand, who must still be spoon-fed by consistent and dedicated teachers. And as for the seminary, well, rarely is someone allowed into the seminary if he is unable to search the scriptures for himself and devour and digest the more difficult teachings of God. God has provided a full and sumptuous meal for every one of us. He has provided the food and the people to prepare it and to lay it out before you. God has given you your Bible, your teachers, your classrooms, and many teaching tools. Moreover, in this field house, God, on a daily basis, brings you snacks to revitalize your souls. At church, on Sundays, He gives you larger, meatier meals with all the side dishes found in the liturgy and hymns and prayers. Each one of us has a meal laid before us every day, and a feast on those days when you have your religion classes. God be thanked that we are never lacking food for our souls. May God forgive us for every failure on our part to take an active part in devouring this food, to take part in taking it and eating it and digesting it, to take part in listening and thinking and meditating and believing. Well, thanks be to God that we are forgiven for these failures. We're forgiven for Jesus' sake, and that particular good news is the purest and most nourishing food of all. May God preserve it unto us throughout our lives. We pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Open your hymnals to hymn number 195. I'd like you to change something in the first line of verse 5. I'd like you to sing, "Then let us feast from day to day." So we'll sing 195, verse 5.
Professor Schierenbeck has an announcement.